This is Doug Miller. The relationship with Jesus Christ is very real, and it is very much one-on-one, and it is very personal. Do you relate personally to a living Savior, or are you going through religious motions with little reality behind them? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand, with a word from Zechariah the prophet. We have been in this book for several weeks now, and we are about in the middle of the seventh chapter. And we are talking about believers and how they relate to God. Bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to Zechariah 7. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to this end, we require the support, the prayers, support of the people of the Lord. Pray for Dialogue, please, and tell others about us. We cannot function without the prayers and the support of the people of God. And we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, why, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now you say, well, why should I write? Well, why not? You might have questions you want to ask. You might have things you disagree with. You might have things that we can help you with, materials that we can provide for you. There are any number of reasons why you might want to. And, of course, you might do it simply because we would like to hear from you. And you say, hey, okay. You have our mailing address there. As I say, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email, our email address is dialogueministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's dialogueministries at sbcglobal.net. And we have a web page, and you can read about Dialogue Ministries and listen to some of the programs that are on the that you can pull down and pull up or whatever you do with them. I'm not much of a computer user myself, and I know very little about it, but anyway, we've got it. It's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay? And if you wish to talk to me, you can call area code 405-535-9089. That's area code 405-535-9089, and I will be glad to talk to you to your heart's content. Now, you'll get a recording, and you leave a message, but I will get back with you. Okay. Personal relationship. You know, if your experience is anything like mine, I was a guy. I was saved when I was 16 years old. But up to that time, I had grown up in church. I was a baptized communicant of a church, one of the major churches in this area, I think, and I went pretty regularly. My parents were church-going people, and so we all went as a family, and I went down and I went through all of the rituals. I knelt when I was supposed to. I stood up when I was supposed to. I sang the doxology when I was supposed to. And I, you know, mouthed all of the prayers that someone else had written when I was supposed to. And I did all of this. I, if you had asked me, would have said, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, of course I wasn't. I was no more a Christian than I was a baboon. And when I got saved and the Lord opened my eyes and I could, you know, and I understood that I was lost and a sinner and that Jesus had died for me. And when the Lord showed me Jesus crucified, buried, risen again for me, and I believed that and was saved, I found out something. And I would just be very surprised if there are not many of you out there who cannot relate to this. I found out, of course, once again, that I had never been a Christian at all. I found out something else, too. We have a living Savior. He is a living Savior, and He is a Savior to whom you can relate to personally. It was a personal one-on-one relationship that I entered into with the Lord. And this very idea that somehow ritual was helping me, it wasn't helping me. It was just something I was going through because that's what I was told to do. And to find out that I could go to the Lord and talk to Him, and that He wanted to hear from me, It's all the difference in the world. I was talking to a guy one time about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was giving him the gospel. He wasn't saved, but he was very troubled about his life and about the confusion that his life was in. He said that he wanted to be saved. He didn't know how to be. And at some point in our conversation, I talked to him and I about this business of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, how can that be? I don't understand what you're talking about, even a personal relationship. Well, of course, he was thinking of Jesus as some historical figure way back there in Palestine somewhere, and the idea that he is alive and living today at the right hand of God the Father, and that He has sent forth the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to show us the things of Christ. This is something this man had never considered. And he did not believe that a personal relationship with Christ was possible. Now, this guy was a church-going man. And he went to one of the churches out there and went through this ritualism week after week. He had no idea about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mentioned this to a friend of mine, and I said, I want you to pray for this guy. And this guy said to me, the man that I had said pray for, this fella, he said to me, you know, if it's not a personal relationship, what kind would it be? What other kind can you have? You can't relate impersonally to someone other than in some historic fashion that would be utterly meaningless. Well, my friend was right. Have you ever read, and I'm sure you all have, this is one of those rhetorical questions, have you ever read the 23rd Psalm? Of course you have. You've probably heard it at funerals and heard other people read it. Have you ever thought about what David is saying in that psalm? The powerful, passionate love that he has for the Lord. And let me tell you something. You can't read the 23rd Psalm without realizing that David was a man who knew the Lord. He didn't just know about the Lord. He knew him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. This is a personal thing with him. Have you ever read the New Testament very carefully? Have you seen how often Paul, or rather the Lord Jesus, called the Lord God his Father? My Father, he said. Well, hey, I'm a man. I had a father. My father's long since died, but, you know, we were close. He was a good father. I couldn't have asked for a better father. And my relationship with him was personal. And when I needed things or I had problems, there was no problem going to my father and talking to him. It was a personal relationship. How about Paul? I was thinking Paul a little earlier, and I said Paul, but how about Paul? That I may know him, he wrote in Philippians, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Paul, who wrote those powerful words. Paul, who said, who art thou, Lord? What wouldst thou have me to do? Paul, who said to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now don't tell me, oh, well, that's the relationship that some people have. I had a guy tell me one time, a friend of ours had been killed in a car wreck. And this friend who was killed was very much a believer and very committed to the Lord. This other guy and I went over to his mom's house to talk to his mom and try to comfort her at this time. And the mother, too, was a very committed believer. And she said at some point, well, you know, my son is home with the Lord now, and I am very happy for that. He wouldn't come back to this place if you could, you couldn't make him come back. And I am very happy for him that he is now in the presence of the Lord. This guy who had gone with me, he didn't like this. He didn't like it at all. It made him very uncomfortable, this kind of talk. And after we had left, he said to me, he said, you know, I don't understand people like that. I go to church. I go to church as much as anyone I know. And he did. Yeah, he was very faithful. But he said, you know, if she feels that way, and I mean, why doesn't she just enter a nunnery? And, you know, you can't expect everyone to feel that way. And he was just very uncomfortable by this. Listen to me. I do expect people to feel that way. I expect every born-again believer to feel that way. And if you don't, and if you cannot put an amen to what that woman said, you had better start looking at your heart and ask yourself, am I really saved? What does the Lord mean to me? Now, last week when we were in here, we went down through the 7th verse of Zechariah 7. And we saw these individuals who were caught up in a lot of ritualism. And they had gone back to Bethel, a place that was very holy to them. And it was the place where, as I say, you know, Jacob saw Jacob's ladder. It was a place very holy to Ephraim and to the nation of Israel. And, you know, people make pilgrimages all the time to get back to holy places where someone else had some kind of a religious experience, and it's very important to them. And here were these individuals, and they were saying, should we keep doing this? Well, the answer that God gives them is, why are you doing it? You doing it for yourself, or are you doing it for me? Are you doing it just going through this ritual because somehow you think that pleases me? It doesn't please me. Look at your own heart. What's it all about? Now let's pick it up at Zechariah 7, verse 8, and read some of this. The word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in his heart, or in your heart. Now, look at this. Last week, when we were looking in here, if you look at the law of Moses, at the so-called Ten Commandments, let's just forget the ceremonial law, just look at the Ten Commandments. This thing that so many people claim to keep and claim to, you know, order their life around. That law is divided up into two parts. The first part of the law has to do with man's relationship to God. And the second part of the law has to do with man's relationship to man. And both are important. And in this passage in Zechariah 7, we have these two parts implied, at least, and laid out here. Last week we were looking about man's relationship to God. What's your heart like? Why are you doing this? Are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for me? What I just read to you just now has to do with man's relationship to man. A lawyer came to the Lord Jesus one time and said, "What's the great commandment?" The Lord Jesus said, "The great commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." Now, friends, if you have to put that in the form of a commandment, you got problems. But you ought to love the Lord. If we loved the Lord, would we really have him saying to us, as he was saying to Israel, as we saw last time, you know, why are you doing it? Are you doing it for me or are you doing it for yourself? Well, they were obviously doing it for themselves. And it had nothing to do with him. But look at the next part of the law. Jesus said the second commandment is like the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these hinge all the whole law and prophets, hang on these two commandments. If you are loving the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will have no problems with those early commandments, the first part of the Mosaic law that has to do with idolatry and keeping the Sabbath, and, you know, nor if you love your brother as your neighbor as yourself, will you have any problem with the second part of these, of the commandments. It'll all fall into place. Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. He says exactly the same thing. He that keepeth, that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. Now look at what, if you have read any of the prophets, you have seen over and over again this same thing coming up. The Lord talking to Israel and warning them, what about your conduct toward your neighbor? You know, every time I turn around, I hear someone shouting love. Love this and love that. A lady told me long ago, or not long ago, rather, she said she was talking about a TV commentator, a lady, who is very conservative. And this woman said, I hate her. Well, that's interesting because this woman who said, I hate her, considers herself a liberal. And, of course, over there on the left side of the political spectrum, everyone over there loves everyone, right? Wrong. There's as much hatred on one side of the political spectrum as the other. It's just that not everyone understands that. Very easy to love people who love you. Very easy to be kind and loving to people who with whom you agree. Not so easy to do it. You know, the book doesn't say love thy neighbor as thyself if thy neighbor is lovable. Now, the problem with these individuals is the same problem we have in many cases. They simply didn't love that guy next door and weren't willing to go out of their way to do anything for him. And once again, as John tells us in his little letter, his first letter, You can talk about loving God all you want to, but if you don't love your neighbor, if you have no love to your brother, you're kidding yourself. You don't love God at all. John makes it very clear. He who says he loves God but hates his brother is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You cannot love God and not love your brother. And look again here at what the Lord tells these people here. He tells them, and how did they react to his message? He says, you know, show mercy and compassion. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the stranger or the poor. And don't even imagine evil against your brother in your heart. But, look at verse 11, but they refused to hearken and pulled their shoulder away. That's an interesting little way of looking at it. You can just see them pulling away. And stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, hard-hearted, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Now, once again, it is very clear that an individual who does not love his neighbor does not love God. And the individual who will not behave in love toward his neighbor cannot possibly, going back to the earlier parts of Zechariah where the Lord said, are you doing this for yourself or are you doing it for me? Well, you're not doing anything for the Lord unless you are also showing love and compassion to your neighbor. And it's just that simple, friends. I think that we all need to take a look at this and be convicted by it, because it is a very convicting thing. Therefore, in verse 13, it is come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Now that is the judgment that came on Jerusalem and on the nation of Israel. And when you see departure from the Lord, you will also see it reflected in the way people behave toward their brothers and sisters. Now, what we have in this passage in Zechariah, we have a Jew prophesying among Jews, and the brethren and the sister in here, if I might, were other Jews. But we don't have that, do we? But we do have the guy next door. We do have the guy across the street. We do have people all around us who need to see the Word of God being lived out from day to day by us. They need to know that there are people who love them, and the Lord needs to know that. What about you? Are you loving your neighbor? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.